and they formed an organization called Pinnacle Quest International, who sold educational material. They sold three products. One was a 21 audio CD set where certain people were interviewed, and then they sold tickets to attend offshore conferences. These were like in Mexico or Panama, Costa Rica. And at those conferences, people would come and speak on various topics. One of the persons appearing on the audio CDs and who also attended one of the offshore conferences and spoke was, of all people, Bill Benson. And he talked to the people about his opinion that the 16th Amendment wasn't ratified. The first thing the government did is sought an abusive tax shelter injunction against PQI to put them out of business. And immediately after they were successful with that, they filed a criminal lawsuit. The Hermers and 11 other people are being criminally charged with a conspiracy to conspiracy to obstruct the IRS, and a conspiracy to commit wire fraud. And two of the allegations in the indictment are that the federal income tax is legal based on the 16th Amendment, and that Bill Benson and hence the defendants are spreading an un-American notion that it's not. And in other pleadings filed with the court, the un-American notion has gone to anti-government conduct. So what the government is alleging is that talking about the 16th Amendment is now grounds for criminal conduct. It's anti-government and un-American if you don't accept the government's position on the subject. We filed a motion to dismiss the indictment, and in support of that, we submitted or asked the court to take judicial notice of and actually submitted the documents that Bill Benson obtained from the National and State Archives to the court, together with a 25-page affidavit that I drafted, together with the motion and points and authorities in support of that motion, to prove that the 16th Amendment was not, in fact, ratified. The court refused to address our arguments and denied our motion to dismiss. We then went up to the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals with the petition for writ of mandamus and a writ of prohibition. The mandamus, we were asking the court to issue an order to compel the judge to answer the legal arguments we made, and the prohibition was to stop the lawsuit on the grounds that talking about a political issue such as taxes is protected by the First Amendment. The 11th Circuit denied both the petition for mandamus and for prohibition, and so we filed on the heels of the Benson case another petition to the Supreme Court. That petition directly asked the court to decide whether the 16th Amendment was, as a matter of law, ratified, and also raises issues regarding the criminal case with respect to the First Amendment and the Fifth Amendment. The government chose not to file an opposition to our petition for certiorari, so the petition was distributed to the judges for their vote, and on January 15th, they will in fact be voting on to whether or not to grant the petition for certiorari or not to grant it. Are you still there?
Okay. Yes. Okay. What I was wondering is we did have a question from several different people, and I hope you don't mind if we move into a couple of questions as we go along.
That's fine.
Work for you. The question they were asking is that several people have been to your website and did not see anything about this particular situation that you're describing. And we're wondering, was there a reason why it was not posted there, anything about it?
Well, the original website, fightbacknow.us, was created for the Benson case, and that has been modified to reflect the Hermer case, and so it is there. In addition, on my website, jeffdickstein.com, at the top of the page, there's a link to the Hermer litigation where the various pleadings filed in the district court, court of appeals, and Supreme Court are there. So the website was modified a couple of weeks ago.
Okay, great. That clarifies that then. And we've got
fightbacknow.us.
Okay, great. We've got Peter Hebert in Germantown asking, I just got off the phone with U.S. Department of Justice and asked, where is the law that requires citizens to pay the IRS federal taxes? Answer was, don't know. Where is the law?
Well, there's an honest response. See, they're not all bad.
Yeah. Yeah, there obviously is no law. David in Ithaca, New York. They're asking something, the whole thing. I don't know unless you know. He's asking, how is Michael Bednarik? Will you bring the petition for certiorari to C-SPAN?
I have set up the website so people can send emails, and there's 5 pre-printed emails and one that you can draft yourself, so people can put pressure on the networks, both local and national, to do that. I've also personally sent this out to everybody on the in the database, and the database is broken down by states, and then within each state there's the local press, local radio stations, and local TV stations. I've also sent the issue to Napolitano. Some of the other guys, the names escape me right now, but I've sent this to everyone without any response. And the purpose of setting up the website was so that lots of people could send this to the news media. So when enough people do it, they'll start to pay attention.
Well,
so far, there's been maybe 500 letters that have been sent to the media, which is way below my expectations.
Hmm. Well, there's, I know, a lot that could be done to help, and we certainly want to look at that and let folks know how they can help you in what you're doing. Even if in a very small way, there's probably a whole list of things that are available to be done, like you're touching on now with the media. But maybe you could run through a few of those with us.
Sure. If you go to the website, which is fightbacknow.us, let me bring it up just a second. Okay, the page is loading. Okay, fightbacknow.us. Have a little bit of blurb, and then you go down underneath that, and it says, let's take back America. And it says, we have until January 14th to make our voice heard. If you click on that link, that will take you to our automated system to send out letters to local and national media. The whole process takes about 30 seconds if you want to use one of our pre-printed emails. You enter your state. That'll take you to the database for your state. You type in your name and address, or I think name and email address, and click on the letter you want to send, and it goes out. From that link, you can also, we have a link to go back to the national media if you did the state media first. And after that, you can go to a page where you can easily find the form to send letters to both houses of Congress. Now, because we didn't have enough money to set this up, you're going to have to copy one of the emails you sent to the states before you navigate to send it to Congress, unless you want to write your own. You'll also see the names of all 9 Supreme Court justices on the first page of Fight Back Now and their mailing address. It's a little late now to send letters because they won't get the letters before they vote unless you send it by overnight mail. But I noticed in the email you sent out regarding this webinar that you put the phone number for the clerk of the Supreme Court. Certainly 10,000 people calling them will let them know that this is a real issue. There's also a link that says sign a petition to Congress. I've drafted a petition on the issue of the 16th Amendment, put it up on the internet. It takes about 10 seconds to navigate to that page and to sign the petition. So far, there's approximately 850 signatures. Again, I was hoping for millions by having this whole thing go viral, and to date, it hasn't gotten there. But I'm not willing to give up, and certainly thank you for this opportunity to alert the people of what they can do right now.
Well, I would suggest that everyone listening that has any type of list, an email list or whatever, to get the word out in your network, relay this and ask others to relay it to their list. And if we ricochet it out that way further and further, then it can get out to millions very quickly.
And, now, here's the deal. If the Supreme Court refuses to grant cert, my two clients, Mark and Claudia Hermer, and the other 11 are still going to trial. Right now, the trial is scheduled for March 1st. We anticipate the trial to last between 3 and 6 months. I am going to do everything in my power to get the 16th Amendment argument presented to the jury, because of the fact the government's getting bolder and bolder and now putting things in the indictment. The indictment is read to the jury. And while I don't expect the court to allow me to do that, that's another step back up to the Supreme Court. And this issue will be in front of them again. So the more pressure we put on, hopefully to get this original petition for cert heard, but certainly continuing the pressure on the news media and on Congress, so when it comes up again, maybe we'll have the public support then to pull this off. The bottom line is until enough people get involved and demand that the matter be heard, it won't.
Absolutely. We've got Dottie in Sparta, Wisconsin. Can this case be heard by a grand jury?
Well, it could be heard by the grand jury, assuming you had the ability to get it in front of the grand jury. The federal government, Department of Justice, basically controls the grand jury, and they only present what they want. I don't know of any way to force them to bring this in front of the grand jury.
Okay. Robert Ritter's Squaw Valley asked, could you repeat that website for emailing to all regarding this? I don't think you said it was. Anyway, yeah, the website they're asking for again.
Fight Back Now, FightBackNow.us. FightBackNow.us.
Okay.
While I'm here, I want to give thanks to Jeff Bowman in Alaska, who built this website for us.
Oh, great. Did a good job. There's an anonymous one that says, find a juror you believe will use jury nullification. I guess they're, yeah.
Well, the jurors are provided by the court system. Typically, the lawyers do not get an opportunity to ask them questions directly. We have to submit questions in writing. That's the first step of the government in eliminating trials by jury. And then if a juror and the judge demands that the juror take an oath, to support or to follow the instructions given by the judge, whether the jury agrees with it or not. And that's designed to eliminate jury nullification. So whether or not, you certainly don't want to present that issue pre-trial or during the jury selection process, because if there was such a juror and that he was inclined to do jury nullification, he'd be struck. What I try to do in my trials is I walk really, really close to the line where, you know, I let them know that they have the right to vote no and in essence nullify the law without actually saying it. If you say it, you suffer a mistrial, which certainly hurts the clients, because in this case, at least, the government seized all of their property, and they're not going to give it back unless we get a not guilty verdict, and that eliminates money for the defense. So you need to be careful on how you present that issue, but it's certainly an important issue, especially in this case where the government's taking one position and we're taking another position, and the government won't let us present our position. So winning these things are extremely difficult.
Okay. I invite everyone listening to that would choose to do so to join the conversation. And to do so, if you're on the phone line, you can simply dial *2 on your phone keypad, and we'll be able to unmute your line so that you can speak and ask whatever question you may have. If you're online listening that way, there's a question box on that same page. Just go ahead and type your question in and submit that to us, and we'll make sure that it gets, the question gets asked. And we have James in Salt Lake City, Utah, agree the powers that be are warring against the American citizens with obstructing justice and unconditional surrender. You want to comment to that?
Well, I can't disagree with that statement, and the way it gets stopped is by the people demanding that it stop. You know, when enough people get involved, things change. I grew up during the civil rights movement. I happened to be in Vietnam when the war protesters were out there, but we all know, you know, it didn't happen overnight with either the civil rights movement or the war protest movement, but both of those movements won because the government just couldn't handle the number of people involved. And I think that that's going to hold true to any issue that comes up.
You know, it seems like that oftentimes people think there's just a choice between becoming very aggressive, be that, you know, you want to call it violence or whatever it may be, or they're just docile. And I see it a lot differently. I see that there's so many things that we can do that are not violently confrontational. We don't have to grab our arms and, you know, go to the streets or anything like that at this point. There's so much civic action that we can take. There's so many things that we can do, and this is certainly one of them. There are a number of things, and if we'll each do our own part, whatever it is that we can do, we can have tremendous effect combined across the board. So it's all very important. Dottie in Sparta, Wisconsin, where will the court be held for Mark and Claudia and others? What city and state?
It's in the United States District Court in Pensacola, Florida.
Okay. And Al in Oregon asks, were the Heimers selling tickets to the seminar? Does that leave them open to tax evasion charges?
The government chose to charge them with the evasion of the payment of tax for income taxes billed prior to their involvement in PQI. Don't know why they did that or what their strategy is. But they didn't charge them with tax evasion for payment on for the sale of tickets or for the CDs. And in any event, that payment didn't go to the Hermers. That payment went to a Panamanian corporation. So if somebody didn't pay income tax, it'd be the Panamanian corporation. But under the law, their payment of that tax is deferred until such time as that money comes back into the United States.
Okay. And David Vandeveen in White Lake asks, why is the documentation not acceptable when the government has no proof?
Well, you know, you can call it treason, you can call it tyranny, you can call it fraud, you can call it a denial of due process. I think all of those things have a part in it. You know, the political elite who run this country like the income tax for a number of different reasons, and they want to see it kept in force. And so it's a huge political issue, and because there's no proof contrary to the documents. In other words, the documents speak for themselves. They're all certified, notarized documents from the secretaries of the various states and the head of the National Archives in Washington, D.C. The documents, you can't refute what's on the documents, so instead they keep it out of evidence. And that way you have no proof, so you lose. And that's the issue in front of the Supreme Court in the Hermer case, and it's the issue in front of the Supreme Court in the Benson case, or that was in front of the Supreme Court.
Okay. George in New York City asks, can you find a celebrity like Ted Nugent to help get the word to people?
Well, I've done everything in my power. You know, I'm a lowly attorney, and I don't know a whole lot of people. I don't run with the celebrity crowd, and I don't have access to them. Over the months, I've asked people to take the lead and get in contact with those people. I found one person who said they knew Napolitano and was going to submit the issue to him, but I don't know whether that was accomplished or not. I would love to have a celebrity on my side. You know, it's just a question of how do you reach them.
Absolutely. It'd be good.
And I'm open to suggestions, but, you know, I'm getting ready for a major criminal trial here, too. That's why I need people to go out there and promote this thing and make it go viral.
Certainly. Well, maybe someone will either type in some suggestions or speak through the phone line to us about those. So we invite anyone to, in fact, any type of creative answers or possibilities, options that you have, let you know, always feed them into the system. We'll disseminate them and come up with some ideas. We have
those are for discussion, but to, you know, what I'm looking is for people to take the lead and make these things happen, not pile more work on me.
Okay, that makes sense. Certainly, take the ball and run with it.
I can only. So much. There's only so many hours in the day.
Yes. We have Reverend Dave in Groton, Connecticut. Being sworn to follow the judge's instructions won't affect jury nullification unless he tells them that contrary to constitutional law, they are not to use that right in this trial. Is that correct? In other words, the value of an oath to follow instructions depends on what those instructions are.
If you tell the jury or come close to telling the jury that they have the right not to follow the instructions, that will end the case in a mistrial and probably result in a contempt citation. So that's one part of the answer to that. The judge never tells the jury they have a right to find from the facts and the law, and they won't. What they tell the jury is that you know, you need to swear that you're going to follow my instructions whether you agree with them or not, which in my experience has always been strong enough to prevent exercise of jury nullification by the jurors. Not that they don't sometimes do it anyway. Of course, jury nullification cuts both ways. The judge can give an instruction that the jury would consider and find, you know, the defendant innocent and want them convicted anyway. So it's really a two-edged sword.
Okay. I'm not sure why this person asked this question. Randall Jones in South Haven, Mississippi. Short and sweet, what is this case about?
This case is about the right of the American people to peacefully assemble and hear speeches regarding whether or not people inside the federal government are violating the Constitution. PQI presented not only tax issues, but health care issues, oil issues, CIA, banking, money, asset protection, any number of different issues. And a lot of the speakers had opinions on why you need to do something alternatively to what you're allowed to do in the United States, because what you're allowed to do in the United States isn't in your best interest. So one thing that this case is about is whether or not people in America have the right to peacefully assemble and debate what they consider to be abuse of the Constitution and abuse of government by elected officials. Another thing this case is about is when you're charged with wrongful conduct, whether you have a right to put on evidence which conclusively proves that your conduct isn't wrongful. The third thing this case is about is whether or not the 16th Amendment was ratified and whether or not an unapportioned direct tax on your income can be enforced. My position is that if the 16th Amendment goes away, the decision in Bruschaber goes away, that leaves us with the decision in Pollock, which clearly stated the income tax is a direct tax that has to be apportioned. So it's about three constitutional issues: First Amendment, Fifth Amendment, and 16th Amendment. And the case affects everybody in the country.
Okay. We actually have some folks that are holding online that have questions, so I'm going to unmute the first one. I've got John Potter, and I've just unmuted your line, John. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Thank you for taking my question. I basically wanted to know what this case was about, and so that summed it up, I guess, well enough for me. So so I'll be able to get something together to ask people to help, sort of like some of the email drives to get people to support the Border Patrol agents. I think that's the course of action that I will be taking. And
you can use the text on the first page of the website. That's
what I was going to ask next. If you had something, you know, something in that ballpark, or
the website.
All right.
Federal courts eliminate free speech and right to defend.
Okay. Awesome. Thank you very much.
Sure.
Thank you, John. Okay, and then let's see. We have one that is actually anonymous, so I'm not sure who it is, but let me unmute that line, and we'll see if we can find out. It says unavailable, but if you speak up, guest, you're the only one that's holding that way. So are you there?
Hello?
Yes, that's you. Go ahead.
That's
and ask
me.
Okay.
Okay. I've been listening to you guys since we started, and I want to thank everyone that participates for helping out. It's a problem. And an issue for everyone in this country, not just the select people here or there. But my concern originally when I called was I'm listening via the website, the webinar schedule, and I don't have any way to ask a question here. There is no question box for me. I know it's a technical issue, but kind of an important one. So I had to call in via Skype.
There should be a question box there on the same page. Just a short ways down, you'll find a small box, and you can type your question into there. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I've been all the way down. I can't find it anywhere. It's
you might try a different browser.
It's not very far down. It's fairly close up. It's just a slight ways down.
I see only invalid event. Anyway, it's I don't want to take up a little time with this, but it's something that's not working. But to get back to the case in point, I did find the fightbacknow.us website, and I went there, and I was able to find the link, and I did send letters to all my local media. More importantly is the send letters to or sign a petition to Congress, click here. I did that as well. But then there's another portion of it, and I think this is where maybe there's a lot of people getting confused, but it brings me to a page that says United States versus Hermer, case number 308-CR-79. I heard you talking about this earlier. Mr. Dick Steiner was speaking about it, but like, where do we go from here? How do I, what link do I use? How do I get this to the right people?
Fight Back Now allows you to take the action that you've taken. The petition to the Supreme Court in the Hermer case, as well as the Benson case, are both on fightbacknow.us. The site that you're talking about is jeffdickstein.com, and that site has all of the pleadings that were filed in the Benson case and the pleadings that were filed in the Hermer case. So if you want the details and you want to see what was done in the district court and the court of appeals, to make sure I'm not just BSing you guys, that's where you can go to look, and that's jeffdickstein.com. So that's,
okay, because that's the first portion, like from the site Fight Back Now US, it says petition to Supreme Court here, and it's a link, and that brings me to this page that you're referring to now. So there's nothing here other than information that I can do anything here. This is not where I need to be.
Right. If you scroll down to the bottom of that link, you'll see petition for writ of cert and appendix. Waiver by Solicitor General docket sheet. Up at the top of the page is the Hermer's request for judicial notice, the Hermer's motion to dismiss counts 1 and 3 based on the 16th Amendment Declaration, the government's response, our reply,
okay,
court's orders.
Right, I see all of that, but what I'm saying is there anything here that I can link to? Is there anything here that I can do to participate, to petition this? There's one link here that says petition for rights of
mandamus. You know, if you were so inclined, you could click on the donate page.
Yeah, I know. I've been on a couple of those already today. Unfortunately, I'm one of the many that are unemployed and facing homelessness, and I've already donated a couple of different places today. I have a lot of free time, and I've been volunteering that, and I'm trying to get the word out. I just signed up for a lot of this stuff. I wasn't even aware that anybody was even out here. It's so hard to find. They're doing searches and things like that on the internet to find these organizations and all of these people is really difficult. They're not making it easy.
Right. On all the different links on fightbacknow.us, we have some interesting ones. For example, my oral argument in front of the Seventh Circuit is on the internet. If you look at the link called Tax Clause Violations on the bottom right-hand side, that's an hour-and-a-half presentation I made to the 2009 Continental Congress regarding the 16th Amendment issue. If you click on the Truth in Pictures link, we've got a little cartoon that keeps it real simple, but pretty much, you know, lets people know what's going on. So there's a wealth of information and resources on fightbacknow.us.
Okay, yeah, I just found that one now through what you guys were talking about, and I've been on that site. Like I said, I did go through all the petitions. I did send the letter to the media, and I did sign the petition to Congress, and I'm going to forward this to as many people as I can right now. Unfortunately, only till the 14th. It only gives us a couple of days. Doesn't really give a lot of time, and I think time is the essence.
This was filed with the Supreme Court a couple of weeks ago, and it's just been really difficult to get the momentum going to get it distributed. George called me yesterday, in response to an email I sent him, and fortunately we're here now on this station to get the word spread. And I've been on several other radio stations and has sent out a plethora of emails. It's just a question of making it go viral.
Right. That's the difficult thing. Maybe you need a kid playing a ukulele or something. You'd have better luck.
Well, you know, I'm open to... Last week, somebody put together a YouTube video and has that up on the net, which references this case. I was hoping that would have happened months ago, but, you know, better late than never.
Yeah, I know. I'm coming into this kind of fourth quarter myself. I'm just finding all of this information in the last several days. So hopefully,
maybe you'll be the guy who makes it happen. Who knows?
I'm gonna do everything I can from this end and try and reach out and get as many people together as possible. But one big question that I like to interject here, and I know it doesn't have anything to do maybe what we're talking about specifically, but something that needs to get out there. Is that this forum and these websites and communication mediums are great, but eventually this is going to go away. And I'm trying to figure out if anybody out there is coming up with any kind of contingency plans on how we're all going to stay in contact and communication once they start putting their fingers and turning off the internet and shutting down websites and so on and so forth, because that's reality. It's going to happen.
Yeah, I'm not sure those conversations public over the internet.
Right, right.
Thought.
So, I don't know, it's just something that I think needs to be addressed in the near future here, is how we're all going to stay in contact. But thank you very much for taking my call, and I'm going to get to work here getting these petitions signed and trying to do what I can.
Thank you,
caller. Appreciate that. Couple of observations that I had there on what he was talking about is that, one, in regards to things like the internet going away and means of communication and means of staying in touch, that's one thing that I know that we're going to be discussing is at Republic Magazine and see if there's a way that we can facilitate information on that will help us all. So we'll see how that goes. The other thing is that I wanted to say that one of the things that you have done, attorney, is you have spent amazing amounts, not only of time, but of your very own money. And I know that you have to be in great need of funds to continue this work, and you can't just completely deplete yourself. So I want to encourage everyone, even no matter how small, to consider sending some money Jeff's way to help with his efforts. And are there certain ways that they can best facilitate doing that for you, Jeff? How would they go about that?
Yeah, we have two links on the website to do that. One of them says contribute to the cause, and that'll take you to a donate page where you can donate through PayPal, and PayPal allows you to use a check or a credit card to do that. My address is, if you say contact the attorney, or if you go to jeffdickstein.com, my mailing address is there, so you can mail check, cash, or money order to me. The other thing we've done is we created a couple of bumper stickers and a couple of T-shirts, and those are for sale. You know, I certainly don't receive very much of that, and so far I haven't received anything. I think I've sold 4 T-shirts. I bought 2 of them, and 1 set of bumper stickers, which I bought, and a coffee that Bill Benson bought. But anyway, we do have that available, too. And the nice thing about the T-shirts and stuff is when you wear them, people are probably going to come and ask you about it. That's a perfect opportunity to start explaining some of the problems we're having with the courts and the First and Fifth Amendment. So, you know, donations through the mail, donations through PayPal, or by purchasing one of the items from the store are ways that people can contribute to the cause.
Okay. We have a wireless caller from Richmond, Virginia, and I've just muted your line. Your last 4 numbers are 8745. Are you there, caller?
I am here.
Okay, great.
Can you hear me?
Certainly can.
Well, I just have a couple of comments. Jeff, I'm an attorney here in Richmond, not familiar at all with any of this except finding out about it through Republic Magazine as we speak. So I'm going to do my part as best that I can anyway. But I have a couple of observations or comments. I've signed the petition, but I suspect that the reason you have not gotten any more signatures than you have is fear. People are afraid that if they sign that, they're going to go on a list, and you know who's going to come knocking on the door.
I think you're absolutely right.
Yeah, well, you know, I hope, I certainly hope that doesn't happen in my case, but we are Americans. We have the right to sign a petition and present it.
Sure.
If that brings down the wrath of the IRS, and then we're in a world of trouble, and we may very well be.
I've always thought that the way to generate public support is to create a newsworthy event. And what I envisioned is a convoy of, you know, 20 to 30 large dump trucks filled with, you know, petitions that can be driven to Washington, D.C. and dumped on the front steps. Obviously, 850 signatures, you don't need a dump truck, but, you know, that's what I envisioned anyway.
Well, keep on envisioning it. You never know. This might be exactly the boost that you need.
Yeah.
If enough people on here today work to get this thing viral, it just may happen. The other comment I want to make is I went online to come to the webinar, and what I'm getting is a message that says invalid event will not allow me to enter.
Hmm.
I've never seen that. I have no clue what that means. Do you?
That's very odd. I'm not sure why that's happening.
That's what the other gentleman said.
Yeah, I heard that. And it says, I mean, it's not even allowing me to get on the webinar. He was able to get on the webinar but not able to pose a question. I'm not even able to get on the webinar. When I initially tried to get on, it would have for me to connect to the webinar, but then it wouldn't connect. And then, and all of a sudden, I get this message that says invalid event, and that's it. It's not allowing me to connect whatsoever. So I find that very suspicious. I don't know what's going on. Maybe whoever's doing the webinar, whoever your host is concerned.
So you
don't know.
You've got 1 day to put together a find a group, find financing, and submit an amicus brief. How's that for a challenge?
I don't know that I've been practicing 25 years. I don't think I've ever had to do that. So my hat's off to you. I understand. Trust me, I understand with that. But that's it. I just wanted to comment to let you know you are not alone. We are listening, and I'll do what I can. And hopefully people won't be afraid to sign that petition. That's the sad state of affairs if that is the case, if we've gotten to that point.
That just means we have to work that much harder. I know I've neighborhood bar that I like to go to every once in a while. You know, it's sort of like the Milwaukee version of Cheers. And I talked to some of the people about this, and, you know, the general comment is I'm just crazy. And so another thing I would love to do, but money has always been an issue, is I would love to hire a couple of PR firms and advertising agencies to figure out how to package and market this message.
Yeah. I know. Everything costs, doesn't it?
Yeah, it sure does.
Well, good luck to you. I'm going to do my part, and I will certainly be coming to your site to find out what happens and what goes on.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you, caller.
Thank you. Thank you. Bye-bye.
And I do have some feedback just by way of Skype. I just got an answer from our person, Brian, the person that does our tech-type stuff for our webinars. And he said there was a particular mechanical error on his part. He said that that it's not conspiracy, but just simply refresh your page, hit refresh, and that should everything should work. As far as the box is just right there immediately under the link for your questions to be entered. The play will work. If you hit refresh and then try it, there shouldn't be any issue with it. So if there is, then certainly let us know again. Then that means there's another layer of something else. We have from Garden Grove another wireless caller, ends in 4198. Are you there, caller? Oh, wait a minute. Let me.
Yes, I'm here.
Okay.
Hi.
Hi.
I wanted to commend you for what you're doing. Also, to thank you for your efforts. I have been there. I started a group back in 1989. In fact, it was called Women Fight Back for Legal Justice. And I attempted to do what you're doing and educate the general public. And I know how difficult it is to get into the media and to get them to recognize the problem and put it out there. And so I'm going to do whatever I can to help you get this information out there. Hello?
Yeah, I'm here. I appreciate it. Thank you.
And I hope you don't give up, and I just hope that people realize that fear is their biggest enemy. And if they're afraid to put their names out there and afraid to fight back, then they're going to lose all their freedom.
It's just right around the corner, too. I mean, the Benson injunction case is all about new government tactic to eliminate discussion and destroy the First Amendment. And, you know, they get away with it here. Who knows where they're going to go next with it?
Well, also, we'll be like a third world country. We won't have any rights.
Yeah. Also on. I have three YouTube videos directly pertaining to the First Amendment. So, you know, the threat is real.
Have you tried Hannity or Bill O'Reilly on Fox News?
You know, I've sent everybody on my database, and the database probably has over 5,000 names on it. So the answer is yes. Again, personal contact is almost impossible.
I almost feel like people don't really understand what is happening to their, not only do they not understand what's happening to their rights, but the information is not presented to them in the media as their rights are going to be gone. They're going to be gone forever, and this is going to change our country forever if we don't stand up and fight back.
I thought Jesse Ventura's new show on conspiracy theory would be a good place to have this aired, but I spent about an hour and a half trying to find an email to him and ended up with nothing more than a mailing address, which I'm sure isn't going to get to him directly. So, you know, if anybody can find out a way to contact him and turn him onto this, that would be great.
I think one of the other things also is that, that time is a biggest enemy for you right now because you don't have a lot of time. And so the few people that are trying to help you don't even have a lot of time to get this information out. And so, but, you know,
I don't want people to not do something because of this particular petition is going to be voted on so soon. Like I said before, we're going to be back before the Supreme Court on this issue, and this is a continuing effort. You know, we need to make Congress, the media, and the judges aware that we're watching and we want something done. And so if it takes another 2 years, that's fine. I mean, that's better than it not being heard at all. So, you know, I hope people aren't going to be discouraged by the short amount of time as to this particular petition for cert.
I think that's important for everybody to know that, so that they're not like, well, I'm going to give up in 2 days because it's going to be over. I think it's important to know that our laws allow us to continue to fight back, even if the courts go against us.
Sure.
And so, you know, our prayers are with you and, you know, me as one individual out here who understands the system will definitely continue to do what I can to help you out.
Thank you. George had the audacity to print the number of the clerk of the Supreme Court. It would just be a real shame if, you know, 100,000 or 200,000 people started calling them.
Well, I think that's very possible.
You know, and then you call up your grandma or your mother or your sister or your brother or your, you know, your loved one and give them the phone number and have them make a call too.
I also think it's important for people to know that if they're going to get out there and put themselves on the line to tell the truth about the government and about these issues, that they need to do a disclaimer first and to protect themselves. I mean, that's my opinion.
Yeah, you're going to draft one and circulate it?
Absolutely.
There you go.
I mean, we can't be too careful today, right? But we still have to get the word out there. We still have to do what we can to preserve our Constitution and to make our elected officials and those activist judges follow the rule of law and stop trampling on our rights. And there's only one way to do that, but you have to be careful what you're doing before you do it. And
the only way to preserve the First Amendment is to exercise it.
Exactly, and we can't exercise it if they eliminate it.
Well,
because
that's true.
You
can still speak. The question is, what are the consequences of your speech? You know, our founding fathers made it clear there aren't supposed to be any consequences. Going after people who speak is off limits. That's what the First Amendment is.
Exactly. But if people have fear in their minds and they're afraid to pick up a phone, afraid to do an email, afraid to say something because they're afraid that somebody's going to be knocking on their door and attacking them, then we have fewer signatures. But people have to know that our soldiers are over on foreign lands dying for our freedom. So what good is it if we aren't fighting for our freedom on our own land?
A good point. Thank you.
You're welcome, and God bless you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you, caller. Appreciate that. And I just, you know, as far as talking about being put on lists and that sort of thing, I would think that it's a little late for that to be concerned about being on a list. I think anybody that does anything working towards freedom, that stands up and speaks in any way or takes any type of action, if there is such a list to get on, I'm sure that we are well on those lists already. So that's a fear. It's almost like after it's already happened, you're having a concern for it. So I would just say, if you don't, when will you speak out? When will you do something? When will you go out on the limb a little bit, if not now? What about if things progress and get a lot worse? How bad will they have to get before you do it? And will you do it even then if you won't do it today? I just feel like if I don't do what I can, I'm selling out. I'm just giving up, and I just can't do that. So anyway, that's my two cents on that.
The poet Simon and Garfunkel, you know, told us all that silence like a cancer grows.
Yes, so true. Those words have a lot of wisdom, no matter when they were sung or spoken. We have another anonymous guest, and I'll unmute your line and if you speak up, you're the one, because you're the only one holding at this point.
I guess I'm the one then.
You're the one.
One. You know, I was listening to the other callers, and I was thinking about the last one. Yeah, we're probably already on a list. My daughter, who's in law enforcement, jokingly tells me that I force her to stay in law enforcement because I'm going to need someone to come get me out when they come for me. So, yeah, I think we're pretty much all on a list. Jeffrey?
Yes.
You know, you and I have communicated in the past before, and I've donated to, you know, the Benson case. And I was going to tell you, I have a friend who was Jesse Ventura's manager or agent when he was doing some music stuff before he became governor and, you know, and his wrestling during his wrestling career. And I'll see if I can find a way to get to him to pass on your information and see if that, you know, to get you on the show.
Oh, how cool would that be?
That would be very cool. I can't make a promise, but I certainly will make an effort.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
And something I think most people should be aware of, that in the Trading with the Enemies Act of 1934, we, the citizens of the United States, have already been declared the enemy of the government and the banking system. So, you know, it doesn't make any difference that we're on a list or not. We already are on the big list, so they can, using those declarations, they can pretty much do whatever they want. And it's
The Patriot Act doesn't help matters any either.
I'm sorry?
The Patriot Act doesn't help matters any either.
Oh, definitely not. Yeah, I called up senators and literally screamed at them over the phone for voting for that.
Yeah.
But, you know, we have a Federal Reserve that runs the country. One of my favorite quotes is the one by Baron Nathan de Rothschild back in the 1800s, you know, where he says, "I care not what puppet they put on the throne of England. The man that controls Britain's money supply controls the empire, and I control the empire, or I control the money supply." You know, and that's the Federal Reserve. They control the money supply. They control the government.
Yep.
And we need to push back because we have the people. We have the masses of people, and if we can get people motivated to do that, they will back off for a while.
Yep. That's all about the people. You know, it's always about the people.
Gandhi proved that.
Well, Gandhi proved it. King proved it. Hitler proved it. Genghis Khan proved it. Napoleon proved it. You know, you may not like what they stand for, but they sure got the people behind them and knew how to motivate the people.
Well, you know, Hitler had Chase Bank behind him, so that always helped.
Yeah, well, you know.
Yeah.
I just sent a fee dispute to Chase Bank. They charged me a late payment fee. My automatic payment got delayed because it was over the Christmas holiday, so they charged me $39 to make a late payment.
Yeah, aren't they great?
Yeah, good old Chase.
Yeah. The Chase was the Rockefeller Bank, and they're one of the founding members of the Federal Reserve.
Yeah.
So, just like my father-in-law, you know, oversaw a number of branches of a major bank, and he used to tell me if I really wanted to make money to own a bank, because you could just create money out of thin air. And then they tack fees on top of the money they create out of thin air.
Yep, quite the racket, isn't it?
It is quite the racket. It's like the mafia. Yeah. Well, I'll let someone else, I guess, get on the call if you have anybody else holding, but I will make an effort to see if we can get a hold of Jesse Ventura.
Appreciate it. Thank you so much.
And I'll have him get a hold of you if that's possible.
Okay.
I'll let you know either way.
Pardon?
I won't leave you in limbo. I'll let you know.
Oh, appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Take care.
Thank you, caller. Appreciate that. And I would say one thing is that we had a previous guest on our webinar, I think it was maybe about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, that was on Jesse Ventura's program. with the MK Ultra when he covered that. And so I'm sure he has a contact point. So if that doesn't work with what you're pursuing there, then let me know. Maybe I can create a connection between you two guys so that you can try to reach Jesse Ventura.
Oh, do it anyway. Don't wait for one to fail.
Yeah, I will. Okay, that's what I'll do. I'll email you that information right after the webinar, and we can go from there. We've got Robert in Fresno, California. And, Robert, do you have a question?
Yes, I do. I was talking about, we were all talking about the rights and stuff. We the people actually can change all of this, even if it's done. We just have to take back our Constitution because all of this is unconstitutional and therefore can be kicked out. But it is going to take all the people. Now, you were talking about the income tax. Now, I read on some website that said what we need to do is to send the IRS and I don't know if it's the Secretary of State or something, send them a letter and tell them that you're sorry that you've been wrong for sending in all your income tax forms all these years. And because in a court, that's one of the first things they will use is your filings, because once you sign them, you're basically signing over your sovereignty. By at the bottom of the page, I believe on the form, it says you affirm under penalty of perjury, which is basically taking an oath, isn't that?
There's lots of theories that people have on how to do this. I do a lot of criminal trial work involving these issues, and the government does not hesitate to submit letters like the one you suggested as proof of the issue of willfulness. I am not a fan at the current time of the civil disobedience of not filing, because people on the jury, number one, don't understand it, and so you're martyring yourself. And number two, the penalties and interest are so horrific that the people in this so-called freedom movement are all basically broke and can't support the work that needs to be done. And so in today's political climate, I do not recommend that you paint a big target on your back by sending a letter to the IRS. You know, at least one that says, I'm not going to do such and such anymore. You have a much bigger voice if you send them a letter saying, hey, what about the 16th Amendment issue, but yet you still file so they can't come after you. One is to be a target and to get prosecuted civilly or criminally. The other is an effective exercise of your First Amendment right to let them know that people are catching on. That's just my personal position, you know. I mean, everybody's got an opinion.
No, that's a good point.
I represent a lot of people criminally. And even though I've won more of these than any lawyer in the world right now, not to say that somebody can't catch up, I still lose 75% of my cases.
Right.
You know,
well,
Erwin Schiff basically got a life sentence. He won't be out before he dies. Sherry Jackson got 4 years, and she now has a health issue. I was fortunate enough to keep Joe Bannister out of jail, but he's been saddled with exorbitant penalties and interest. Even if you win a criminal case, it doesn't make the civil issues go away. And winning a criminal case doesn't set any precedent for anybody. In my opinion, it's a pretty ineffective way to fight.
Well, I will do more volunteering for jury duty and keep these things in mind in case I'm lucky enough to get on a tax case.
Yeah, and keep your mouth shut during the voir dire process. Say as little as possible.
You got it.
Okay, anything else, caller?
No, that'll do it. Thank you.
Thank you, Robert. Okay. And then we've got this one is in Moorhead, Minnesota, and we've got the last four numbers are 4758. Are you there, caller?
Yes, I am. Hello. Am I on?
Yeah, you're on.
Yes, it's good to hear Mr. Dick Stein. I was privileged to be at the Continental Congress in November, and the case was presented in a fashion where it's very clear that the 16th Amendment is not being used as it was intended when the amendment passed, and of course you've proven beyond a reasonable doubt that in fact it did not pass. What I just want to say is take a small issue with you, Jeff. I think withholding the income tax is probably a good civil action to take only if it's done in concert with a large number of other people, because the courts, you know, they just cannot accommodate jury trials for millions and millions of people. And this is one of the things that we recommended from the Continental Congress. It's just one of the long train of abuses that the federal government has usurped its authority in regards to the income tax. We have it as Article 8 in our Articles of Freedom. And, Jeff, you were a very big help in helping us write that particular article.
Yeah, and I've read it, too.
Yeah, go ahead.
I went back and I read what you guys did. Good job.
And I would encourage folks to take a look at that, not just in regards to the to the 16th Amendment issue, Article 8, but I think if millions of people, or a goodly millions of people, did sign on to do that with the understanding that it would all be done at the same time, I think in that situation it would in fact serve to be an effective civil action. But I do hope that this Hermer case can get heard, so maybe that won't be necessary if this particular egregious violation of the Constitution is taken care of administratively through the courts.
Yeah.
And,
if the 16th Amendment goes away, the income tax will go away, and so will withholding. In the meantime, the lawsuit would have to be filed at the same time with the number of people in each district court, and that will require a lot of coordination, which requires funding. You got to pay for attorneys. You got to pay folks to coordinate it. You got to have a master database of the pleadings that are going to be filed. You know, it's certainly something I've considered over the years. There just hasn't been any funding to pull it off.
Yes. Well, it certainly is worthy of all of our attention, and the work you've done is just extraordinary, and I applaud you for it. And we just can't give up.
Yeah, that's for sure. Thank you.
Thank you, caller. Appreciate that. And let's, if we could, let's go to the online questions now. We've got a number of them that have come in. I will say this. I know that we've been on the webinar here for a little over an hour, and I want to be sure that I clear it with you. We do have more questions, but if you have other commitments that you need to jump onto, Jeff, then certainly, what's your position? Can you go with a few more questions, or do you need to go?
No, I can do a few more.
Okay, great. Let's see. Let me go here to where I go to where I last was, and we can continue on. We have okay, Tracy in West Palm Beach asks, have you considered going to Michael Moore for help in getting this information out better? He could write a letter with this information and send it out to his huge database.
I, in fact, sent an email to Michael Moore some time ago and never got a response. Someone has a better way of contacting him. Again, you know, please get in touch with them and let them know what's going on. I'm happy to speak with them.
That would be great. I'm not sure, just, you know, as far as where he would be at with all of that.
Well, you don't know until you ask.
Yeah, you don't know until you ask, so that would be good to check into. Great. We've got George in Worth, Virginia. How can we the people, or no, what can we the people do now? From all I have read, watched, when do we, the people, get pissed off enough to go to Washington and kick these tyrants out of the White House? We pay them to ignore everything we say. Talking and organizing protests do not seem to be working too good by the looks of what I'm seeing. Any comment on that, Jeff?
Yeah, the issue, as I've mentioned before, is the fact that the message hasn't been formatted in such a way that it gains the attention of the American public. 80 million people voted in to vote for their favorite dancer on So You Think You Can Dance in a two-hour period. That's marketing, okay? And they paid to make those calls. That's marketing. Our message falls on deaf ears, and for the past 30 years that I've been involved, it's basically the same message, and it doesn't have any appeal. So we need to hire professionals to get the message reformatted and figure out how to get it distributed. And that's a function of money. I would like to hire a big-time campaign manager, two or three PR firms, and two or three advertising agencies, you know, at the big national level, and get them working on this. But it's a function of dollars, plain and simple. All advertising is a function of money. The more money you spend, the better your advertisement is and the more effective it is. You know, I wouldn't mind doing a national campaign, starting it off on Super Bowl Sunday, but 30 seconds is several millions of dollars, you know. I'm lucky to have enough money to buy food and pay rent most of the time.
Well, let's hope that that's going to shift. And I encourage everybody to help make that happen. We have Karen in Oregon. We've put a link to fightbacknow.com on our site at taxfree15.com, and would love to unite and bring this to light with our monthly boycott on the 15th of each month. Thanks for all you do.
Well, certainly appreciate the link in your efforts. There it is, www.fightbacknow.us, time-sensitive action link. Yeah, beautiful. Thank you so much.
Great, okay. Freddie in Orlando. Jeff, any comment on Pete Hendrickson's book/position and his trial?
I don't have any comments on his trial because I wasn't there and didn't follow it. My position is that the argument doesn't sustain scrutiny. When you go back and look at all of the original statutes, what people do today is they'll go and they'll look up a statute, and the statute will say something, but they don't trace the legislative history back. When I look at a statute, I trace it all the way back to its original inception. Then I read each and every amendment of that statute, plus I read the congressional record for the various committee reports dealing with that statute to see what it says. And a real prime example of that is if you look at Section 6331, the second sentence talks about levies on the salaries of employees. And people will read that and say, see, the IRS can only tax and levy federal employees. Well, if you look back at the history of that, you'll see that the federal employees was added only because they had been previously excluded. And if you trace that language back and you continue to do research, you'll see that the term employee is used in the common law, which reverts back to England, and they didn't have any federal employees in England. In my opinion, the argument just can't sustain scrutiny. And we're seeing now the IRS coming after a lot of the people that received refunds from using Pete's book. And that's something that's typical, too. Somebody will come out with the so-called silver bullet. People might initially receive some favorable results, but 4 or 5 years later, the IRS starts coming after them, and it usually takes that long for each new argument that's out there. So just because you receive a letter
from the IRS or you receive a refund from the IRS doesn't mean you've won. It means you've obtained a temporary victory of a sort that can seriously come back and bite you on the behind.
Okay. We've got Mike in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. How can I show people that all of us making a stand as we the people is more simple than they think?
You know, I've been struggling with that myself. That's certainly in the 30 years I've been involved, I've been unable to bridge that problem. Others involved with these issues have been unable to bridge it. Again, that's why I think we need to go to professionals to figure out how to get it done.
Okay, I agree. That's going to be tremendous if that can all come together.
The other thing is don't give up. You know, you might talk to 100 people and one of them might be Johnny Appleseed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it absolutely. Just like you were saying that that person you talk to might be a good friend of Jesse Ventura and he makes a call and you're on the show. I mean, you never know. Robert Ritgers in Squaw Valley, I'm trying to make this viral as you speak. Wish me luck. So we wish him luck.
I don't know a whole lot about it, but YouTube videos attached to a website seem to get pretty high listings in Google.
Okay. We've got Barbara in Santa Clara. We do have former Governor Jesse Ventura on our side. He has a show on True Channel, and I believe he would be interested in this topic. We did touch on that earlier, so we're working on that angle. M. Fridyard at PatriotResistance.com, Lexington. I disagree with the protest approach since we are obligated to protest the injustice that our government representatives do. But so far within the Bush administration and with the Obama administration, so far all the protests in the world has done nothing with the recent government administrations. They just continue to go right on doing the things they are doing, and this is causing the pot to boil when they refuse to listen to the voters and taxpayers. Sooner or later, the next step will be imminent, regardless of what the sign waivers think. Our government today simply shrugs their shoulders at protesters and ignores them. Many major marches have gone on in Washington against many issues in the past few years, and the mainstream media has simply been instructed to not cover a bit of it, and these protests were simply swept under the rug. Any comments to that, Jeff?
Number one comment is it's a numbers game. Let's just presume hypothetically that this next April 15th, no one sent in an income tax return. The tax system would change. It's a numbers game. Number two, I agree there's a problem with national media. I also know that Ron Paul raised more money and more awareness primarily over the internet than any other candidate in history. So there are mechanisms for the word to get out. And number three is that there's, well, I probably don't want to say that on a public show. You know, there's people out there who know how to do a lot of technological stuff. And there's ways to overcome almost any problem. Some of it could have dire consequences. I'm not asking anybody to violate the law. And I'm not recommending that people do that. But, you know, there's answers to problems that people have the knowledge of how to make things happen. And certainly things came to a head during the our Founding Fathers' Day, and indeed they had to turn to violence to protect their freedom. We very well may have to do the same thing. Again, I'm not suggesting a violent overthrow, and it wouldn't even be an overthrow of the government. I don't want to overthrow the government. I want to get rid of the people who refuse to obey their oath to support and defend the Constitution. that's not overthrowing the government. You know, that's replacing those, you know, criminals who violate their oaths and commit tyranny with people who will support that. So, yeah, I understand the problem with protests. I've been watching it for 30 years, and so I can't disagree with the listener. All I can say is we can't give up either.
Absolutely. Well said. Henry in Brooklyn, New York, what are the reasons the political elite like the income tax system? For example, do the elite like the system to track Americans, to control Americans, et cetera?
I think that's one reason. You know, in the course of my growing up, I've seen a couple of instances where tax returns were released and used against people running for office. And a lot of people could disagree with me on this, and that's okay. With our fractional reserve banking system, money is being created at the printing press, and that creates inflation. Just for an example, when I was growing up, you know, you could spend $20 and buy 5 bags of groceries. Now you spend $20, you get 1 bag of groceries. So that's 500% inflation. You can measure the rate of inflation by the flooded money supply by looking at what an original silver dollar, you know, how many Federal Reserve notes that's worth today. That's the true measure of inflation. They're not both dollars. They used to be dollars because we had silver certificates instead of notes. So the population is getting flooded with this money. It's creating huge inflation, and how better than to control that than by taking the money out of circulation through the withholding system, which is directly related to the income tax. You know, if there were no withholding, all that money would be available in the marketplace, and it would be spent, and prices would skyrocket. So I think control, I think as a mechanism to preserve the system, those are two important reasons why they want the tax. When I believe when the income tax goes away, the Federal Reserve goes away with it. And I could be wrong. That's just my personal opinion.
What a wonderful
Edwin Vieira attorney is the guy with all the information on the money issue. I don't pretend to know to have studied that or have that much of an in-depth understanding. He's got a two-volume book out called Pieces of Eight, which goes into the entire history of it. And I would recommend that to anybody who has the fortitude to wade through it. It's really it's footnoted extensively, and it's not the easiest read in the world.
Okay. We have Cheryl in Austin. I missed the first part of the call. Please state what the case is about one more time. I would say to that we have recorded this, so I invite this person to go to republicmagazine.com/webinar after this is complete and listen to the replay, unless Jeff wants to restate it. But I think you have twice already.
Yeah, well, again, fightbacknow.us on the first page tells people easily what the case is about.
Okay, great. We've got Cam in Jacksonville, Florida. Can you get Tommy Cryer and Joe Bannister to help you?
I'm in contact with both those people. Joe Bannister was my client in his criminal case. I was lead attorney in that case. And I know Tommy Cryer. I've met him personally. And so, they're helping, probably not with the energy that I would like to see, but that's my personal problem. I was on Tommy's show last week, and we discussed this issue. So, they're both helping to the extent they are.
Okay. We've got just so many questions here, and I think rather than trying to answer a question, there possibly could be. I may just pick a few highlights of the ones that we've got. I mean, the suggestions to get on the Alex Jones show and this, that, and the other.
For those kinds of suggestions, you know, I'm game. Set it up.
Great. That's the way to do it. One of James Gregg in Wichita, Kansas, asks, okay, so what happens if the SCOTUS refuses to hear this case? Will this make us all insurgents subject to immediate arrest?
What happens if the Supreme Court refuses to hear the case is the Hermers go to trial, currently scheduled to start on March 1st. And whether you support this, whether that makes you an insurgent, would be in the eye of the person calling you an insurgent. It's a dangerous time in the United States. You know, to quote Voltaire, I think it was Voltaire, who said, you know, it's dangerous to be right when the government is wrong. But when the government is trampling on our freedom, we have to stand up regardless of the consequences. At least that's my stand.
Okay. James Gregg in Wichita, Kansas says, you guys should be posting this material on the Oath Keepers website as well as RISNET as membership alerts.
Great. Get it done. Send them an email. You know, I've probably sent out well over 5,000 to 6,000 emails to everybody I know. And that's just one person doing it. You know, lots and lots of people need to send out those emails until the message is finally heard.
Yes.
Anybody is welcome to take fightbacknow.us and jeffdickstein.com and spread that to everybody you know.
Okay. Pat in Texas says, what is the link for the YouTube video? People will watch those.
You know, I asked my webmaster to post that. Let's see if I can find it right now. It's pretty long anyway.
Okay.
Oh, wait a minute. Here it is, I think. Okay, youtube.com/user. Well, this is really long. It's got lots of slashes and numbers and stuff. Tell you what, if that person or anyone else wants to send me an email, J for Jeff, D for Dickstein Law, @wi.rr.com. If you want to send me an email asking for that information, I'll be happy to send you the link.
Is it possible you'll post that link as well on your site?
You know, my webmaster gets it done. I've asked him about 4 days ago. It hasn't shown up yet.
Okay.
He's actually working on getting my book republished as an e-book, and he's working on that. And that project is a couple of weeks behind schedule, so he's pretty much focused in on that right now.
Okay. Well, I know that we could literally go on for forever. I mean, we've gone quite a while here. There's lots of questions that people have. It's definitely a very hot topic. What I think is that we're definitely going to want to set something up with you again in the future to continue the conversation, and I really appreciate, you know, you being with us today, and certainly such short notice and with such an urgent matter. And I want to urge everyone listening to take whatever action that they possibly can deem appropriate for them to take. Don't hesitate. Just go ahead and do it, even if it's small, because it all adds up. We will have a very fascinating webinar also tomorrow and Thursday. Tomorrow we have George Green, and I know if you haven't heard George Green, you're in for a real treat. If you have, you know that you're in for a real treat. He has quite a bit of information to share from his working inside of what we would call the New World Order folks. He was very closely rubbing elbows with and performing functions for the elite, and now he's doing everything he can to bring it down, to expose it. He travels worldwide and works hard and writes and speaks and does everything he can to expose it. Quite a guy. You'll find him interesting. So, and then Thursday we have an MD that's going to share some interesting information with us as well. Bill, I want you to, if you would, if you have, Jeff, if you have a final thought, something that you wanted to close with, this will probably be an appropriate time for that.
I just want to encourage people to go to fightbacknow.us and do one or more of the things that are posted there, or because of the short time that we have, I really like the phone tree idea of getting everybody to call the clerk of the Supreme Court.
Okay.
And let's see, you posted the phone number on your email that went out. I'm not sure.
I've got that. Let me see. It's 202-479-3011.
Right.
And hopefully they'll be able to get it out quickly that they want this to be heard before the person says anything about this is not the line to call or whatever. You know, at least it gets in there to them and they know. So, I really appreciate it. And we will have this posted very shortly, the replay. I encourage everybody to make that go viral. Send it out to your list. You can download it to your desktop. You can send it to others. And let's get the word out as much as possible on this very, very important issue. It affects each and every one of us. So with that, thank you, everybody. Thank you, Jeff. Have a wonderful day.
Yeah, I appreciate your efforts. Thank you.
Yeah. Bye-bye.
The moderator has left the conference.